Oh, All right. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's get into the word. Hope you have your sheets. Y'all kind of surprised me. More than I felt that I needed this morning. Amen. So if you don't have your sheets, you can look in your in the Bible, the Word of God. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And also Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Okay, well, we're going to read just to save time to remember that Acts chapter 19 and 20. But I'm just going to read Acts chapter 8. So if you just have your Bible, keep you from having to turn two places. Write the first one down, Matthew 19 and 20. I'm kind of remember that. But let's turn, if you don't have to get in your Bible, let's turn to Acts 8, 26 through 40. And I'm just going to read that. And finally, it reads, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, Well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip, saying, Please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture. He preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And the answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And I'm just going to read these top two verses quickly. And you hear it? Matthew 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. 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 Blessed by the reading of God's word. Now I'm the second one he's giving you, we'll have more, because this is one we're going to be using for 2 or 3 weeks, the second. All right. As we finish handing those out, this morning we go back to our series. We took a break from our series last week to share something with you to bring in the new year. Amen. We're going back to our series today. And, you know, our series is digging, which means it's old term back from the 70s. And it means when you're cool with something, you understand. Christians understand it. You say, hey, not only do I understand it, but when I dig, I'm in agreement with it. So we're going over the basic beliefs of our church. Amen. We're going over the basic beliefs of our church. That second sheet that he gave out with you is the second half of our basic beliefs. Some of you already have the first half. I think it's 8 in all, if I'm not mistaken. But most of you already have the first half. This is the second half of that we're looking at today. These are things we believe here at Beth Salem. And we're trying to make it plain, and we're going through them at the beginning, in the last year, beginning of this year. Now, the one we're on today is that last one, I think, on your sheet. Everybody got one of them. All right, so I may have to have one of you read. All right, do I have a good reader? You can read them. So you gonna read it? All right, go down to the last one, and it says, and the last belief, it should say something about baptism. See, I don't have it here. Amen. Thank you, Sister Nancy. All right. That's what we believe about baptism. And that's what we want to talk about today. We're just going to spend a little time. This, hopefully, I say this every week, but I'm hoping I keep to it. This won't be a long sermon. But we want to see what do we believe about baptism. So I'm going to entitle this sermon, Take Me to the Water with a Question Mark. Take Me to the Water with a Question Mark. Amen. So, do you really want me to take it? Are you really qualified to be baptized? All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about today, baptism. Baptism. Now, let me tell you a quick story. When I first came here, well, even before I was pastor of this church, when I came to preach, I had to come to preach just to consider me as being pastor. It was over 38 years ago, and I preached my first sermon. A gentleman got saved, amen, on the first sermon before I was pastor. And later on that month, the day I think they were with me, pastor. So I had baptized that gentleman. Now, I'm used to, you know, I come from the city. So I'm used to have a baptism pool. And even our baptism pool had a little heat in it. Now, a lot of churches have kind of grown and been remodeled. Home church in Dallas now. When I was baptized, it didn't have heat. So I was baptized in just a regular water. It was about the body of children and everybody, but not the soul. That's when I was baptized. But then when I came down there, they said, okay, I'm glad you get baptized. So then they told me could die on my first month. But the person needs to be baptized, and they just like it's not. And I'm saying, oh my God. I'm not helping with this. So back then, Zach Perry, actually, see that he maybe that he was the charmer. So he went out first. I'm looking closer. I said, I'm going that same path. Because if he don't fall, I can make it. So I watched carefully. He went out. Okay. I went that same path, and we did the baptism. Because baptism is important. Amen. I respond to baptism. And I think that's the only time I had to baptize in that room. Next time we got baptized, we had a pool, or I think we used somebody else's pool until we got home. But baptism is important. Now, a lot of times, why does baptism come up, especially with kids? A lot of our kids get baptized. Most times, moms and dads are pushing. So they feel like if they don't get their, little kids, I'm talking little kids like 4, 3, 5. Can you baptize? You know what I'm saying? We need to talk about that. 4 or 5, because they feel like, hey, you don't want them to be lost. So you want to baptize. So they send them to be baptized. And I realize that they just don't have an understanding of what baptism is all about. So hopefully today we can help you to understand that. First, why should we be baptized? Because today, in today's society, a whole lot of people, even our members of churches, claim to be followers of Jesus, and they are not baptized. Because they think baptism is something that's kind of archaic, and they don't see the reason why they should be baptized. And I'm going to tell you the reason, first reason. First reason why all believers, everybody that's saved, should be baptized is because we've been instructed to do so. Jesus told us to do so. And that's what was in that first, let me read it again. Make sure you catch it in that first passage in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Tell us, go make disciples, go make followers, go teach people about Christ so they can become his followers. Go make disciples of all nations. Ain't nobody left out. Then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus instructed his followers to be sure to baptize those that disciples, that became disciples, followers, those that put their faith and trust in Christ need to be baptized. Those that are followers of Christ need to be baptized. It's been instructed. That's his instructions. That should be our initial act of obedience. In other words, when you become a follower of Christ, basically when you really trust Christ, become a follower, you are saying that I'm going to stop being the CEO of my life. I'm going to stop being the president of my life. I'm going to stop running my life. I'm giving the CEO position, the presidential position of my life to Jesus. So from this point on, whatever he says is the way I'm going to live. The first way you begin to follow him is by baptism, because he said for you to be baptized. So when you begin and you give him your life, one of the first and initial acts of your acts of following him, of obedience, is being baptized. So we get baptized because he has instructed us to do. And when you become a follower, a believer, he's in charge of your life. He has the foundation, he's the CEO, he's the president, he's everything. So when he said be baptized, we want to do it. That's number one. because when you got baptized, everybody knew you was a Christian. And if they were persecuted in the position, if they were enemies of a Christian, they won't come against you. If there were people that were persecuting the church, they know you were part of the church, they were going to come against you. In a Muslim nation, amen, you're going to be disinherited by your family, and your life is going to be threatened if you would become baptized in the Father of Christ. So it's hard for them. When in that kind of setting, when you're baptized, you know you're a real follower. You know Christ means everything to you because it means your very life. But that's why I can't understand living in a free country where we can't be baptized, we have no bread on our life, we have freedom of religion. Why we won't obey Christ as he's instructed us to. Number two, reason. Because it's an illustration. It's a picture. And what I mean illustration? When you're baptized, it's a picture of some things. Let me tell you what it's a picture of. First, it's a picture of what Christ has done for us. When you're baptized, it's a picture of what Christ has done for us. When you're baptized, and let me quickly talk about the modes of baptism. Because different denominations have different modes of baptism. Some sprinkle them. Sprinkle. In the water, spray it on them. Number two, some pour. We have a little picture that pour water. And then, as we do, as Baptists, you have to be immersed in water. You have to be buried in water. You get real with it. And then you come back up. All right, y'all with me? That's what we do as Baptists. Because the very word baptism comes from the Greek baptizo, which means to immerse. It comes from when people in that society, in biblical society, used to dye cloth. When they dyed the cloth, they baptizoed it in the dye. So if it was white and they baptizoed it in red, it became red. If they baptizoed it in blue, it became blue. So that's where that term comes from. So, but whenever the baptism happened, there was a change that happened. Well, so first picture we see is what Christ did for us. He died for our sin. He was buried, and then 3 days later, he was resurrected. That's the first picture you see. What Christ done for us because he loved us so much and because of his grace. The second picture you see is what happens to us on the inside of us. There's a difference made. In other words, when we baptize, when we are baptized, we are saying, my old life, the way I used to live, when I was in charge and CEO of my own life, the old life I used to live is dead and buried. And now Christ, with his power, has made me a new person. So the person you see is not the person I used to be. Y'all with me so far? Because I was, the old life is gone. Now he's in charge. And he empowers me to be a person that I could have never been without him. Now I'm trying to become all, I'm trying to let him, because he's the most important. I'm yielding and letting him empower me to become the person I was created to be. So I died old. So when people, when you be baptized, and folk come around and you used to hang with, and they try to say, oh man, you, now you're trying to be all in the church, and I'll say, man, I'm very up, you're trying to be all in. I remember you back then. But they don't realize the old you, that when you were in charge, has already died. And you're not the same, because God has done the work in you, and he's still working on you. You haven't become all you're going to be yet, but he has began to work. So don't you ignore all this stuff about your past, amen, because you got a destiny you're born for now. And the enemy will try to do everything. You know why the enemy tries to do everything to turn you back to your past and to keep you from reaching the place that God wants you? Because the enemy is afraid. Once you become a believer, once you start following Christ, the enemy is afraid of what's in you. His spirit lives in you, and his amazing power lives in you, and you can do some amazing things for kingdom. So anyone who every day that tries to hey, you, remind you where you came from, you keep you from getting to where God has taken you. Your destiny is so much more important than your history. Your history has been buried, but your destiny, God is empowering you. And the enemy is afraid of where you're destined to go because he knows what God has put in you and what God has done inside you. I wish I had somebody here that know they had a destiny and know you're on your way somewhere and you're determined not to let nothing stop you from reaching the plateau that God will take you to. Oh, my amazing Savior. So that's all those things. It's an illustration of what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. So don't you let them bother. Yeah, you used to might smoke with them, but you don't smoke with them no more. But you got a power that you didn't have back then. Yeah, you used to curve and do all kinds of negative things that ruin your life back then, but that's not you no more. That man was buried. Now, you've been raised to a newness of life. And the reason why that happened is because of what Christ did when he died. And now that same power that he had when he rose, he gives to you. To help you become all that God needed you to be. Next. So, instruction and illustration. And then, I want to talk about in order. There's an order to this thing. Somebody may ask, sometimes this question is asked, do I have to be baptized to be saved? Sometimes we ask, do I have to be baptized to be saved? And the resounding answer for us, what we believe here is no. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Wait. You do have to be saved to be baptized. What do you mean not be baptized to be saved? You remember the thief on the cross? When he turned to the master? When you remember me? When you come into your kingdom? Now, Jesus said, well, you know, I will do that. But I can't, you know, hey, I'm hanging on the cross. How am I going to baptize you? But Jesus said, this day. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. He wasn't baptized, but he was saved. What if a soldier is out on the field? Amen. He's been wounded and he's dying, and another Christian soldier is trying to get him to give his life to Christ. There's no way to be baptized. What if somebody's in the hospital in a situation where they can't, they're hooked up to tubes and can't get you a pool of water? They don't have to be baptized. Because it's the believing that saves. It's believing. Being God for God's word. Then he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be saved without being baptized. So you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But now, if you can't, if you're in a position where none of those things apply to you and you're a believer, then he's already, I already told you, he's instructed you to be baptized, so you're going to obey him. And if you truly change, it's evidence that you've been saved. Because when he changed you, when he really changed you, you want to do what he asked you to do. So if you say, you say, I don't want to be baptized, but you're saved, I got some questions about that. I'm questioning it because I don't see the evidence that you turn your life over here and you will be his father. So, that's why we call it believers' baptism. You got to believe before you're baptized. So sometimes when a little bit of parent makes a small child to me, and once that small child be baptized, it depends on aid and a lot of things. But if I know they're three or four, most of the time they're geniuses, they take care of it. Five, borderline, sometimes six. But really, between seven and ten, they got a good possibility. And then when you get on up, you know, ten and above. So I usually tell them, hey, they can become a candidate for baptism. And we can work on the teaching up to that point. Because the way I know a person is ready for baptism is they are able to articulate the reason for baptism, and they are able to articulate and tell me how they got saved and why they know that they're saved. Now, you tell me how you got saved and why you know you're saved, and you can articulate the reason you want to be baptized. If you're 6 or 7, then I will then take you. But until you can articulate that, then you're not ready to be baptized. Because you got to believe before you're baptized. Again, now look back at the scripture, because I don't want y'all to think I'm just bringing this off of my head. Philip, we talked to Ethiopian, the brother he talked to, the brother pulled up in the Bentley. Yeah, it's a Bible Bentley, a Bible Bentley. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Ethiopian John. Look at verse 28. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He had a chariot, y'all. Y'all hear that? He had a chariot and he had horses pulling his chariot. So in biblical days, that's a business. And the brother was the treasurer of the whole country. And he had been a servant, but he didn't understand. You know, sometimes brothers don't understand. I didn't quite get it. I'm just really interested, but I don't understand. So when God sent Philip, now Philip was in a revival, we read this whole chapter. Philip was in a revival, people were coming to Christ and getting saved. But God, listen, cared so much about this Ethiopian brother out there on the road. God saw him, amen, out there on the road, and he was valued. He was. God said, lead the revival. But I got somebody out there on the road that's valuable. Now, some people would say to us, because of the color of our skin, that we're not valuable. But this Ethiopian brother right here, God said, Philip, stop the revival. I got somebody that's so important, so well, so valuable. I need you to go and talk to him out on the road. He left the revival in the crowd and went out to seek them. Single individual on the road so he could explain the scripture to him. Explain how he be saved. Explain how he become a follower of Christ. And he used the book of Isaiah. Isaiah talks about when you read that whole chapter 53 of Isaiah, when you read that whole chapter that you look at trying to understand what it's talking about is Jesus dying for us. That's the chapter that says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his people is upon us, and by his stripes we are healed. It talks about the sacrifice he made in that chapter. That's what the brother was reading up on the side of the road. And then the brother asked, who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself? Or who is he talking about enough? And the brother, Philip explained to the brother that he was talking about Jesus. And to the point that the brother said, okay, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be his disciple. So then by then, he put himself in water. Now, listen to me. If it was sprinkling, you would not need a big pool of water. If it was sprinkling, brother, you got a canteen on you? You got some water with you? And they were just sprinkling. But no, it said the chariot, they pulled up because they saw a body of water. Now, let me go down this. 16, as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, in the verse 36, I said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, y'all see that? If you believe with all your heart, you may, if you believe in Christ, you put your trust in Christ between you are saved, then you can be baptized. But if you don't believe, Being baptized by water. You've got to be able to believe. But some younger kids can't believe to the point. Now, when we're dedicated, we'll have a great dedication ceremony. Where you prepare to dedicate your life to the Lord, we'll pray over them, knowing whatever it takes for their child to become all that they will pray that he becomes all that God wants him to be. But we have to wait till he actually understands how to believe in what to believe in before we baptize. So, it had to be in order. Belief would give you salvation and then baptism. You never should be baptized first and then. Now, some of you, because parents were wanting you to be baptized, pushed you to be baptized, you went on and got baptized. And then later on, you really believed. You wouldn't even be there first. Yeah, I just got baptized. I was just too sure about John Jesus telling the story. He said, the reason why he got baptized, and we had a couple of people coming by you. I knew it was the same thing. Now they got once when they had to meet and I trained and work with them. It wasn't that. But when they first came to be baptized, that's why a lot of kids were baptized. Communion. You bad the communion bread in a little juice. And they see you in the juice, so all the juice look good. But they can't get it. They can't get the juice and the bread. Saved, and he added to the church, and they baptized highly geared to the church. It's highly geared to it's your image because you show, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. I want everybody to know I'm with Jesus. So you need to bring it when you need when you I wish for people life change and bring all the friends on the streets. Bring all the smoke with, all the thugs you hung out with, everybody, people you stole with, all your gang buddies, and let them bring the chain. Hey y'all, come on to church. Now they might not come, but at least invite them. Because this is your time, amen. When you've been joining the game, you got to initiate. So you can say, I'm getting initiated into something else now. But now I'm a follower of Christ. I'm not the person y'all used to know. I'm a whole new person because Jesus has changed my life. My baptism is a testimony of what Christ has done for my life. And I want to tell you, hey, I'm going to some amazing places. God has, I don't know, there's unlimited things for me to do. Now, my friend, hey, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the time we've been together. Some of you are all know, hey, I always care about your brother, hope you become a follower of Christ too. But if I don't hang around you like I used to hang around you, it's because sometimes when you're going to a certain place, you got to let go some weight. You got to let go some weight. It's like that rocket ship. When them rocket ship, I told you, when they take off, amen. Now, they had to have something, some extra power to take up, but when they get to a certain point, they got to let all that go. You see that rocket, whatever it was, fall off, because now they can really go. And sometimes people, Jesus will put people in our life for a season, but when we get to a certain point, if we're going to really reach the height that he had for the week, we have to go same go. Let go don't mean you know, because you still need your witness to. You still need to line up and tell them about Christ. You don't care about the family. But the thing you used to do, hang out with, you can't hang with them no more like you used to do. Do the same thing they do. Because you're new. The stuff you used to bear, now you're a new person. So, that's why we're baptized. That's when you really can say, take me to the water. Because you know you've been instructed. And that's your first act of obedience. He's in charge of my life now. And the first thing he told me to do is be baptized. And then I want to be a picture to everybody. I want to show them when they look at me, going in the water and coming back up, what Christ did for me. He died. And then he rose again on the third day. There's another experience. I want to see what happened to me after what he did for me. My old life died. Then I'm living a new life. Fourthly. Since I believe, the next thing is to be baptized. When I believe before I'm baptized, I want baptized to be saved. I was saved and then I was baptized. And lastly, that's my initiation, that's my interest. That's how I get into the church, the local church. Now, when you say you're already in the universal church, universal church means not a building, not a location, but that means you join all the Christians worldwide. Heaven, people that's already gone home, and because you never know, you join them as the universal church. That means everybody's a believer all over the world, and everybody's been a believer. As soon as you're saved, you're in that church. But the local church, you join, you know, baptism is your interest to get into the local church. And then if you move to another church, then that church said, hey, he or she was a great member here, they got baptized again. Hey, y'all need to take them because we got proof, we got evidence that they really believe in Christ. They were really asked that time. You should have that already. Put to the next place. All right? That's what baptism is about. I told y'all to be quick. Come on, sister. If you're here and you need to be baptized, amen. Today is a good day. Because you but believe, hey, we'll help you to believe what you need to believe. Live, we'll help you to understand Christ. And really in your heart want to be a follower and want to give him your life. And then we'll back. So now we got the proof. I don't have to go back in the lake no more. Thank God. We don't have to go back in the lake no more. So we can baptize. And we got a little heat in it and everything. Everything that you need. So let's go. believe in him. Believe he died for your sin and rose on the third day. If you want to be a follower of Christ, no day like today for you to be a follower. We invite you to come. Say, Pastor, I want to make that move today. I believe in him. I listen to you. I've read the word for myself. But I need to make that decision because I want everybody to know I'm making a decision to be his father. I want to be one of his disciples. You can do that. We got a sister over here, brother over here. You can go stand by 6 feet from him, let him know what you want, and we'll share with you the same way what you need to do. And if you haven't been baptized, we'll enjoy and celebrate when you're baptized. Because we know your life will be changed.
Baptism, but it's your whole world, that their life.
Lord, have you do. Let it be amazing. Let it be loving somebody, caring about it. I always say be blessed, but also be a blessing to us. That's why we're here. God, lift up and care for somebody. Always. So good. Always. See all of it. We can do it. But the day may not ever come. Amen. Amen. Amen.